Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Thursday right here on B&E. Appreciate you being there. Busy one. Mavericks get walloped last night. Game one, NBA Finals. Or excuse me, Western Conference Finals. Trying to get to the NBA Finals. All Golden State. We'll review. Also, huge win for the now first place Austin FC last night out west. Hear from Josh Wolf coming up. And obviously, we're talking Nick Saban and his comments on Texas A&M and them buying every recruit that they landed in 2022, which has led to a lot of conversation and will continue to be. This text says, EU and your cohort are so out of your element, explaining how players were bought in the 2022 cycle. Plain and simple, you're conflating NIL deals for current student-athletes with the bagman game that A&M successfully pulled off to nab every five-star out-of-state recruit they signed this year. Would have been NIL deals, which would have been also been illegal. Well, look, here's, you know, this is not... to me, that difficult to figure out. How is the NCAA going to... Here's the thing. If it's the bagman game, and, you know, we know what that means. Back in the day, you give a player, a prospect, or his family a bag of cash, a bag of money, and then he signs with your school, right? Well, the way I read these collectives and understand these collectives, no money changes hands until the scholarship is signed. Once the scholarship is signed, you are now, as a scholarship athlete, able to access the collective and the trove of money that's been collected from boosters and people who want to invest in the NIL collective. You know, that's going to be the NCAA's problem. They're going to have to prove money was changed hands before the young player, the student athlete, became a committed player. Because once he's a committed player, he now, as a, by the rule, a student athlete under scholarship at that university who then has access to the collective and the ability to collect name, image, and likeness benefits. Am I wrong here, Zay? Does that mean it's really it's semantics, but if no money changed hands before signing the scholarship and committing to that school officially, well, then what's the NCAA going to charge them with?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, but I just think Nick Saban, he has some nerve saying all this stuff, man. And that A&M Alabama game is going to be a dandy for sure now.
Oh, well, for sure. And obviously A&M beat him last year. And no, I just got, and I understand people, but this is the way the system is set up. Of course it was going to be abused. And of course the NCAA is going to try to monitor it. But at the same time, by the rule, and this is why we had the quote last week from the prominent University of Miami booster John Ruiz, who's a billionaire himself and a high-powered lawyer, essentially telling the NCAA, look, if you want to come take us to court, I would love to get in the courtroom because the case is pretty solid here of where we are. We're not giving anybody money to sign. We're setting it up so that when they sign with us, there's going to be access to this collective, and you know, whether deals are promised, that's going to become the word, you know, guarantees and things like that are going to be discussed. But again, this is the legal area. This is the gray area of what is okay and what is not. What's a booster? What is not? You know, the collectives at Texas, there are multiple. You know, what landed Quinn Ewers at Texas? I mean, was you think Quinn Ewers came here just to play for Sark? Probably. Part of it. He wanted his dream school, the whole bit. But at the same time, I'm assuming there were some things guaranteed. Again, those are the questions that Nick Saban is asking, and we'll let you hear his comments again coming up. Also, speaking of Sark, we'll hear from Sark from the Touchdown Club of Houston yesterday and what he had to say down there. Right now, let's get to your headlines, the trending topics, as you start your Buck Off Thursday. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, we start with the big soccer win last night out west. The Austin FC had lost two straight games, including a game at Real Salt Lake over the weekend. Well, they went into Los Angeles last night, midweek matchup, and took down the first-place LAFC 2-1 on their home pitch. Austin now tied with LAFC for first place in the Western Conference as the two share identical 7-3-2 records. Ruben Gabrielson scored in the 13th minute to give Austin the early 1-0 lead. Daniel Fagundes found the back of the net in the 80th minute to the eventual game clincher. Brad Stuver, huge in goal for Austin. He made several key saves off of and kept LA off the board all the way into the 88th minute of the match for a very happy head coach, Josh Wolf.
They're a terrific team, and they're difficult to play against. They create a ton of situations out wide, a lot of set pieces that we dealt with extremely well, except for a couple. But we played our way into it, and I thought the guys grinded really, really well at the end. And Diego grabbed a goal, Ruben grabbed a goal, and Diego could have grabbed another one. So just a very good collective effort, and I couldn't be more proud of the guys.
Big win there. Back at Q2 Stadium Sunday night to wrap up a three-game week as they take on Orlando SC. NBA last night, Steph Curry led 7 Warriors in double figures with 21 points. Golden State held Luka Doncic in check, and the Warriors humbled the Mavericks in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, 112-87. Warriors hit 56% of their shots, Mavericks just 36. And how about the swingman, Andrew Wiggins? He took on the challenge of D'ing up Luka Doncic last night most of the night and did a heck of a job. Held Luka 12 below his playoff average, just 20 on 6 of 18. Also, Luka committed 7 of the Mavs' 13 turnovers on the night. Game 2 will be in San Francisco tomorrow night. Miami tonight will be Game 2 of the Eastern Finals with the heat up on the Boston Celtics 1-0. Baseball, Round Rock pounded Sugarland at 11-3 last night. Rangers, wild game there. They're up 4-2 in the ninth. They give up a home run. It's 4-4. They go to the 10th. Angels get a run, but the Rangers then walk it off. Nathaniel Lowe, two-run shot in the 10th. They win it 6-5. Astros drop the rubber game with their three-game set in Boston, 5-1. Red Sox right-hander Nick Pivetta tossed a complete game two-hit gem. Just the fourth complete game in the bigs this season. Gave up a solo homer to Jose Altuve to start the ball game, and then sat down 18 straight. In golf, second major of the season, teeing off here within the hour in Tulsa. And the featured group, as we've said, will tee off at 8:11 this morning. That is Jordan Spieth, the lifetime Longhorn, playing with Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. Scottie Scheffler, world number one, tees off this afternoon.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so big conversation. Great win last night, Austin FC. That, I will say, I did not stay up for that game because it didn't start until 9:30. Watched the Mavs, and that game got out of hand pretty early in the second half. So I went to bed early knowing we've got the golf tournament tomorrow, and it's a busy week, a lot going on. But woke up to see that Austin FC had won that match, and surprising, because it just felt like a bad spot for Austin to be on a back-to-back losing streak. You know, the game at Real Salt Lake was a bad loss. I mean, that was a team that Austin was favored over and kind of expected to get the win there, and they lost it. Had the red card situation with Daniel Pereira, so they played a man down for the entire second half and lost after taking the early lead. So that one stung, and then you're thinking, well, this could turn into a three-game skid real quick at L.A., the number one team, top team in the West. They go out there and win that match, a huge boost, and now they can come back here and add another some points on Sunday with Orlando. But if you're going to that match for the sellout crowd at Q2, it won't be easy. Orlando is second place in the Eastern Conference, so good soccer last night. Not great basketball. That was disappointing because I think this is going to be a great series, but obviously that was not the Mavericks' best game. They didn't shoot the ball well at all. Warriors played a different, several different defenses on them and threw different looks at them throughout the night. And Andrew Wiggins, as you said, did a heck of a job D'ing up on Luka. And I mentioned Andre Iguodala last hour, that was such a key figure in the Warriors' runs. When you had the Splash Brothers and Draymond, Iguodala was that glue guy. And maybe young Andrew Wiggins, or not so young anymore, but can kind of play that role for them, a two-way player that does a lot.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, E, because Andre Iguodala, he was that defensive stopper that was put on LeBron a lot during those Cavs-Warriors finals back in the day. But yeah, Andrew Wiggins, he was terrific, especially offensively by making Luka work. And if their Mavs are going to put Luka on him, then Andrew Wiggins is going to have to attack that matchup every single time. And yeah, it worked to the Mavs' advantage. I mean, it worked to the Warriors' advantage, and hopefully the Mavs could bounce back game two.
That'll be tomorrow night out in San Francisco. I think it'll be a long series. Mavs got smoked pretty good in Game 1 in the Phoenix series and obviously won it in 7. That's what the ebbs and flows of a best of 7, the adjustments to the adjustments. But I think we were reminded pretty quickly that The Warriors are really talented. I mean, they have everybody back, and Steph is playing at as good a level as he's ever played. Klay Thompson, you know, pretty close back to what he has been. And then, you know, you add the Jordan Pools, you add an Andrew Wiggins, you add the depth players that and the great thing for the Warriors, Zay, is while Steph and Klay and Draymond have battled their injuries, those guys have gotten to play. I mean, those depth players have gotten a lot of playing time all last season and even this year. So these guys are ready to get on the floor and help.
Yeah, Otto Porter Jr., he's not scared of the moment. Kevon Looney, he's been a part of those Warriors championship runs, so nothing faces him either. And again, we know that this is one of the best organizations around. So, yeah, they're going to be ready. They have that championship DNA, and, you know, they understand that it's just game one. They got three more to go, and if this was a team to step on your neck when you're down, it's definitely the Dubs.
Good stuff right there. This says, guys, comes down, you can't tell a recruit they're getting X amount of money until they're on campus. If Jimbo talked to recruits and promised money during the recruiting process, that would be a violation. Well, that's true, and I'm agreeing with that. But I'm saying, how do you prove that, right? I mean, that's, you know, Nick Saban can say they bought every player, and maybe they did promise them, but you have to prove it. I mean, you have to be able to show that that happened. Now, if the players start talking about, oh yeah, they did, they brought for me this and this and this and this, and that would end, yeah, that under the even the current rules, that would be seen as a violation. And the NCAA has said they're going to investigate, and we'll see. But that, there's just such a gray area there that you know, back in the day, the bag man would give the bag before anything got signed, and they still had a hard time proving that. Zay, the bag would be given, that gets your signature. Well, now it's easy enough, the timing wise, and again, these aren't the coaches offering this. These are these collectives making some guarantees that, hey, once you sign with us, here's what we can create for you. Here are opportunities, and this is what could be for you. And, you know, the word could and maybe and those kind of things are a hedge. And kid signs, and, you know, then it's legal. Once he's a scholarship-signed athlete, it's within the rules. And that obviously is a huge change because before, whether the bag of money was given before or after, it was illegal. Now, if it comes after, it's legal. And that's a challenge for everyone, obviously. I don't sit here pretend to know how this plays out. I think Nick Saban is sounding an alarm for everybody and basically saying, if you don't stop A&M from doing it and others, then we're going to start doing it, which, then, you know, that's obviously where it's headed. And I'm not sure what the NCAA is going to do about it. This is why we've all talked about some type of college football governing body that's not the NCAA that – conferences agree upon, as we've talked about the college football playoff committee, a selection committee, elect a committee like that, appoint a leader of it, a commissioner of it, who has authority that everyone listens to and buys into, who can bring some power and bring some clarity and bring some guardrails to what's happening, because right now there really aren't any. And that's why I say it's going to be hard to prove these things, even if the NCAA when they investigate these name, image, and likeness deals. All right, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his great crew. We'll see Tom tomorrow, and along with so many of our great friends and partners out at the Mullet Open, the 21st playing of the Mullet Open, the Mullet Golf Classic. Tom will be there, and somebody's going to win that 85-inch flat-screen television tomorrow just in the raffle. You buy a $5 raffle ticket, and boom, you can win that television. That's how easy that is, and someone's getting it. You don't have to have – how about that, Zay? You don't have to hit a hole-in-one. You don't got to shoot 40 under par. You just got to buy a raffle ticket, and you could walk out of there with a big old television from Tom and his team. And, of course, then you can get Tom to come out and hook it up and make it look amazing, sound amazing in your man cave or your sports watching room. That's what Tom and his team have done for 31 years right here in Austin, Texas. And also today they're playing the mini Mullet Open. That is Bucky's offshoot tournament, just because there was so much demand and so many teams were turned away in the field for Friday, that, hey, let's the ladies from Austin Cocktails back that, and they're having a tournament today with prizes and food, and it's kind of a mini Mullet Open, which is pretty cool. All right, so Steve Sarkisian in our Coach's Corner was down in Houston yesterday. He had a couple of appearances, went to the Touchdown Club of Houston for lunch, and then went to the Texas Fight event that was emceed by our own Craig Way on last night. Let's dive into some thoughts. Now, I believe this sound we want to say courtesy of Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7. He rolled down there and was in attendance. yesterday. We talked to Jeff yesterday morning on his way down to Houston. And he was asked, obviously, in Houston, recruiting the city of Houston. This was pretty cool. Zay, Vince Young was in attendance at this event. I will tell you that, at the Touchdown Club. Vince Young, of course, from Madison High School down in Houston, one of the great all-time Longhorns. And it was Vince's birthday. So apparently they all sang Vince, happy birthday. And it was funny. Steve Sarkisian told the story of when he was at USC. He was the offensive coordinator for the Trojans when Texas beat USC in the national championship game. And, you know, somebody asked, or he mentioned, he made a joke about himself on the 4th-and-2 play where Reggie Bush wasn't on the field. And they went for it, and obviously Texas got the stop they had to have to give the ball back to Vince to go win the ball game. And Steve Sarkisian, with a wry grin, said, you know, I've called some good plays in my career, and I've called some bad plays in my career, owning that one. And but he admitted, with Vince Young in attendance, that you know, Pete Carroll told him, we have to go for it. We can't stop him, essentially, is what he said. We have to go for this. We can't stop him, which, of course, they didn't get it, and they couldn't stop him. And Steve Sarkisian was quick to point out that he didn't say them. He said him. And he said after the game, Pete Carroll told his team that, you know, sometimes you run into Superman. Sometimes you run into Superman. And that's what Vince Young was on that night, and that's what Vince Young was at Texas. But then Sark was asked about recruiting the city of Houston, how important it is to the lifeblood of this program.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Houston is obviously a very fertile recruiting ground. There's a lot of great players that have come from the Houston area. That have come to UT and that haven't come to UT. And I think the key for us is to be diligent in our work ethic here. You know, we've got great coaches that recruit. We staff recruit a lot of what we do. For some guys, this is their part of their area that they have. But at the end of the day, we've got to forge great relationships with the high school coaches, ultimately get connected to the players, their families, everybody involved. And sure, I'd like to sign more than 3 players from the Houston area, but at the end of the day, I don't want to sacrifice numbers for quality. And I think the kids that we've signed out of the Houston area and anticipating them coming are going to be very good football players for us. Ideally, we can raise that number some, but I don't want to just take numbers. I want to make sure we're getting quality people and quality players.
And there's a lot of them in Houston. And obviously, right now, Texas A&M is dominating the Houston recruiting front and scene. LSU does very good in there, too, and they need to get in there and reestablish. And obviously winning games would help on that front for the Longhorns. But Houston, as good as it gets, Houston and Dallas, obviously, Metroplex and the greater Houston area, just massive recruiting areas. All right, so Sark was also asked, and something we've talked about, locker room chemistry and, you know, your NIL stars versus the role players. How do you work that in a locker room? How do you deal with that when one guy's driving a Lamborghini and Bijan Robinson, and, you know, there's going to be role players that maybe have some access to some funds, but certainly not in line. Does that create an issue for you as a coach and trying to build chemistry?
It's a challenge. You know, locker room continuity and culture is critical to our success. I mean, and that's why this summer, over the 8 weeks in the summer and in training camp, a lot of what we're going to spend our time on is team building, culture. Again, you know, I've touched on this. We'll have about 35, 36 new scholarship players in our locker room out of our 85. So that connection to the team, I think, is really important. The ability to share with one another, talk to one another, get to know one another. NIL is unique, right? Your name, image, and likeness. And what does that do for you to create opportunities to earn money off the field in that aspect of it? And I use this guy as a great example. Bijan Robinson signs an NIL deal with Lamborghini. We all know he's a great football player, all-conference player, award winner, record-breaking runner. I think he's got another great year. He's poised for another great season. But every guy on our team knows Bijan Robinson is a better human being than he is a football player. How he represents the university, how he represents himself, the student that he is, the person that he is in the community, that ultimately is the result of that is why he's got this NIL deal with Lamborghini. Every player on our team, I'm sure, would love to drive a Lamborghini. Don't get me wrong. But that guy kind of earned it, right? He earned it, one, through his play, two, through the person that he is. And that's the true essence of name, image, and likeness. So hopefully we can get our players to a point to where there's a level of respect for the guys that do have bigger NIL deals because of what they represent and how they go about their business on a daily basis.
All right, Steve Sarkisian with a pretty lengthy answer on that, but one we've heard before. It says team building means zero when you're in the Civic and the guy next to you is driving the Lambo. Well, you know, get used to it. But that's nothing new. you know, college football locker rooms have always had, you know, some kids come from more affluent areas and are driving a nice car, and some kids don't have any money. That's not new. Now this, you know, this is a new dynamic to that. This guy on the text line says Houston is a city of 4 million plus, and he can only find three quality football players. Well, you know, Sark knows he's got to recruit better in Houston. But he did land some big-time prospects in the three, right? Kelvin Banks, the five-star tackle from North Houston. Big-time players coming here. Also, you know, Jaden Blue, the running back out of Klein, the Klein area. Top running back in the country, or in the state, I should say, and part of that great running back room. So, yeah, they've got to have more numbers there. But at the same time, I think the guys they got out of Houston were really good. And Sark did say to the Touchdown Club that he felt like getting six of the top seven, offensive linemen in the state was huge for them, obviously. Six of the top seven in the Lone Star State, and including Kelvin Banks from Houston. And he also mentioned that, and there's one we didn't get because we got the other guy, right? And that's Cam Dewberry, who signed with A&M, but essentially he wasn't going to go wherever Kelvin Banks went. Play the same position, and one went to A&M, one came to Texas. So we're taking your thoughts on the Jordan Addison situation, the Blitnikoff winning wide receiver. There's some thought that their decision could come today. It's down to Texas and Pittsburgh. As we said, the two-team race, the Alabama visit, I guess, not going to happen. And, you know, at least some people think there's growing confidence that they feel really good. That, you know, Texas wanted him to not make the USC trip. They're trying to get him to sign with Texas while he was here. He made the USC trip, but he still hasn't committed to USC. So, you know, there's a kid that's going to take his time and think about both options and where it's going to be the best. Apparently, there are some pushing in his circle to go back to Pittsburgh, but that is probably a non-starter at this point for Jordan Addison. And obviously, it would be a huge coup if Steve Sarkisian could land the number one receiver in the country. I mean, the only receiver, I mean, he won the Biletnikoff, so it's not an opinion to say he's the best receiver in the country. The kid at Ohio State, Jackson and Jig, was really good, but to add the number one receiver to go with the game's number one running back and the deep running back room to go with, you know, Xavier Worthy becomes your two. Jordan Whittington, when healthy, is the third. Isaiah Nayer is on that team. When Steve Sarkisian can dial this up and find your mismatches, that's when he's at his best as a play caller. And that kind of skill talent can create mismatches. There's no doubt about that because you can't cover them all. And obviously it's going to come down to offensive line play and quarterback play for Texas. But the Addison thing, not official, but we'll keep an eye on it. It's at least cautiously still optimistic, but everyone also realizes it could be USC as well. All right, so speaking of team building, you know, yesterday we told you and the story that Inside Texas had on Steve Sarkisian's captain's draft and how he tried to empower the team to, kind of take over the culture a little bit by drafting players that were doing things the right way and showing those who weren't doing it what their teammates thought about them, kind of a peer review kind of thing. I mentioned our friend Colonel Craig Flowers, the leadership expert. He was listening yesterday. He's going to come on with us in the 8 o'clock hour and talk about that, how he thinks that can work and what the challenges are going to be for Sark going that direction, trying to build team culture and what's important when you're trying to build an elite team. We'll talk to Sark, Craig about that. Also, the challenges of name, image, and likeness and dealing with the current climate of a college football or any college sport locker room. But coming back, we're going to go live to Tulsa, Oklahoma, check in with Garrett Johnson, the freelance writer who we always lean on when it's time for a big golf event, and there certainly is one teeing off north of our border there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Southern Hills, the host and the site of the PGA Championship. We'll get a preview from him. Also, what he's learned from these golfers in the pre-tournament news conferences and what the weather is looking like for the weekend in Tulsa and the course conditions. Get to all of it live. Coming back, B&E with you on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Zay Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics before the top of the hour, things we've missed halfway through the show. 8 o'clock hours loaded. Craig Flowers, the Colonel, he'll be with us to talk leadership and this current name, image, and likeness era. How do you build a elite team? His thoughts on Steve Sarkisian's offseason methods this year, winter conditioning, and trying to let the leaders of the team, let the locker room take control. We'll get to Craig Flowers. Also, 1 hour from now, it'll be our weekly visit with the head coach of the Texas baseball team, David Pierce. Weekly visit. Excited about that. Into the final series in the regular season for the Longhorns. Kansas Jayhawks opening tonight over at UFCU Dish Falk Field. 6:30 tonight, 6:30 tomorrow. It'll be 2:30 on Saturday. And kind of a must-sweep kind of series for the Longhorns, you feel like, right? I mean, Kansas is the last-place team in the conference. They can hit the ball, but don't really have the pitching to match with Texas. But Texas's pitching has been some of their issues. We'll talk to Coach and get a preview. Also, again, his thoughts on the season Ivan Melendez is putting together. You only have three more opportunities to see a kid, a young guy who could be the player of the year in college baseball. Certainly putting up numbers to back that at 421 and 26 home runs. Leads the nation in total bases by a mile. Just an absolute stud. So get out there and see him this weekend. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Also a big sports story today, the PGA Championship teeing off at Southern Hills, the venerable course there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, South Tulsa. He is our good buddy, Garrett Johnston. He is the golf writer, Golf Monthly, also hosts the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast, and he is live in Southern Hills and joins us now. Garrett, how are you?
I'm well. Any morning that's a major championship that's got Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods in the same group, are you kidding me? This is like Christmas morning, Aaron.
Yeah, well, and you've been there this week. What's the vibe at Southern Hills? Obviously, they haven't played a major here on the tour. I mean, they played the senior Champions Tour major there last year. But 07, Tiger Woods won it. What is, for you, course conditions, what are the changes that are going to be most noticeable when we turn this thing on today?
Yeah, I think between 2007 when Tiger won it last time and today when they have it, the next major championship, is it's a lot of the green complexes, just real difficult greens. I was actually out watching Max Homa and Tony Finau for nine holes yesterday, and they had a contest between them, their caddies, and Finau's coach, Boyd Summerhays, and they said, hey, let's find the hardest putt on every green. So they ended up doing that. Sometimes it was a 30-footer, a 40-footer, a 20-footer, but it's just, in the end, Max Homa's caddy Joe Greiner made two of those bombs to take the money. It was $100 collectively from the group. But it's funny, when I look at the green complex is changing, getting very difficult, a lot of players mentioning that this week, it would have to play into the hands of Jordan Spieth. I know I'm talking on Austin radio here, but this is a really good opportunity for him to maybe get that career Grand Slam. I know there's a lot of pressure on it, but he played well last week, right, Aaron?
He did, 25 under, and he admitted yesterday, Garrett, no one's shooting 25 under on this course. I mean, this course is a major championship course, very difficult. It's a par 70, and so you have those long par fours. Now, it's safe to say, Garrett, that the best iron players and the guy who hits those irons the best, obviously you have to putt at a major, but the irons into these long iron shots into these long par fours will be huge when it comes down to Sunday.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the grouping that Spieth is in with Tiger Woods, one of the best iron players alive, really the last 25 years, and then Rory McIlroy and then Spieth himself, I mean, that's such a good group of iron players, right? And so you would think that even if Spieth doesn't have his best stuff today, even if Tiger doesn't have his best stuff today, they would just, by being in the same group together, I think that's just going to help them stay focused. Not that they need an extra gear, but I think that's just really going to help be an extra ingredient for all three of those players these first couple days, because we know how it works on the first couple days of a major, especially in Rory's case. I mean, the guy hasn't led a major since he won in 2014. So it's really, he's had a hard time getting off to a good start. So we know how, you know, you can't win it on Thursday or Friday, but you can certainly run yourself out of it and obviously have a big hill to climb. So I think those three in this grouping is going to be a huge factor for all three of them.
What about Scottie Scheffler, Garrett? I mean, he's the number one player in the world for a reason. He has had an astronomical run and rise here. We've watched it. We saw him win a Big 12 championship on that course at Southern Hills while he was at Texas. I have to feel like he's got a good look at this thing, too, and maybe go back-to-back with the majors.
I like where you're going with that. It's funny. I talked to Randy Smith, his coach at the age of 6.5, a couple weeks ago, and Randy said that he loves the way Southern Hills sets up for him. Of course, winning that tournament was big for him back a few years ago here at Southern Hills. So yeah, it's one of those kind of courses where, I mean, he hits it high and you think going into these greens, that's going to be a huge advantage. And here's what I loved about him winning that first major. If you remember Ted Scott, his caddy, the veteran who had already won a couple majors with Bubba Watson, every time Scotty made a big putt to take the lead, right? Or a big putt on 12, right? at a big point in the course at Augusta, he always had a joke for Scotty to keep him loose after a big moment. You know what I mean? And so I think that is going to play a huge factor. If the pressure does rack it up here at the PGA, maybe he gets, you know, close to the first round lead, or, you know, maybe he gets there close to the weekend. Teddy Scott is the perfect ingredient to have on the bag to go along with Scotty's confidence and his experience at this course.
Garrett Johnson is with us, freelance writer, also hosts a great podcast about the game of golf, which we'll tell you about here coming up, and he's there live in Tulsa. What about Tiger Woods? He's been there practicing, getting ready. He looks like he's healthier and stronger than even at the Masters a month ago. What have you seen from Tiger, and what do you anticipate seeing this weekend?
Yeah, I just love how loose he is. I mean, he showed up with basketball shorts. We all know that how much he wants to be an athlete, right? He wants to be looked at as kind of a full-on athlete like basketball players. But he had basketball shorts on when he arrived today, and he was just joking around. I saw him chipping around with Stuart Sink, another major champion, and they were just joking. They look so loose. And this is what? This is 45 minutes before tee time in a major championship, and Tiger's cracking jokes with some of his old buddies out here in the practice area. So I just love the vibe that he's sending off. Yes, he's got that serious vibe when he shows up, going to the gym, working out first thing in the morning at 6:30 before it's 8:30 tee time. But he still has that laid-back mentality, too. I like how he can just kind of just feel relaxed. And I think this is a good combination for Tiger. I think he's at a good place when we see his body language in those first couple practice rounds this week. He also just looks good. He looks relaxed. And I think that's the big key for him this week.
Health-wise, I mean, obviously, I think one of the factors for him at Augusta, and obviously Augusta is a much tougher walk than Southern Hills. Southern Hills has some hills, but nothing like Augusta as far as the undulation and the elevation changes. But he also has another month of rehab. Is it possible, Garrett, that cause I think one of the problems Tiger had at Augusta was the inability to really work on things between rounds. He'd have to go straight back to treatment and try to get ready for the next, and couldn't go to the putting green, couldn't go chip or drive the golf ball to work on some kinks, and I think that showed up over the course of 4 days. Do we feel like he's further along to where maybe he could get some work in even after a round?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said he feels stronger when he got here on Sunday, talking to a lot of different reporters that were here. He said he feels just a lot stronger, feels a lot more like his recovery's at a higher rate. And I'll tell you, when he showed up this morning, he had a kick in his step. I just think that I think his energy levels look good so far from what I've seen. I like that practice round he played with Anirban Lahiri yesterday, and how he's just he was palling around with Scott Van Pelt, his old buddy from way back in '98. He made Van Pelt's career to a certain degree. So it's just funny to see him just soaking it in as well, right? I think his energy looks good, but he also seems to be soaking in this moment. The question is, Aaron, how many more major championships are we going to be lucky enough to see Tiger play in? You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be too grim here, but this could be, what, the last of 10 or 12? I mean, who knows what the number is, but we know it's coming down to a finite number. So this is a special opportunity for the fans out here to soak in and watch what Tiger's got for this week.
He's the host of the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts and where you get your podcasts, Beyond the Clubhouse. It's Garrett Johnson, also a sports journalist, Golf Monthly writer. Hey, Garrett, the weather, what are we expecting? We know here in Austin it's hot and windy. You're north there in Tulsa. What is our weather forecast for the 4 days?
Well, it's funny because it was supposed to be like 90 today and tomorrow, first two rounds. And they kind of calmed down with some wind on the weekend, say into like the 70s. But, you know, it's overcast and it's a little breezy now. I don't know if it's going to get to 90 today. So we'll see. It is Oklahoma, so things kind of move around a bit. But it is supposed to be warmer these first couple of days. So I would think that scores would be better first and second round before we get into kind of colder, cooler conditions with these tough greens on the weekend.
Garrett Johnson is with us. Any sleepers that you've seen? We've talked about Scheffler, number one, Jordan Spieth, number eight in the world and playing really well, had a win at the RBC and almost won last week. So he's obviously a favorite. Tiger Woods, who else do you like this weekend to be at the top of the leaderboard on Sunday?
Yeah, it's interesting. When you talk about sleepers, I mean, I like players that have been playing well recently that maybe are kind of under the radar, right? They're not the biggest, sexiest names. And so I look at a player like Seamus Power. I spoke with him at Wells Fargo a couple weeks ago. This guy is sixth in greens regulation on the PGA Tour right now, right? This is a tougher PGA Championship than most of us are used to, the most courses they get to. So hitting greens is going to be huge this week. He's confident. I talked with him, and he said that playing in his first Masters, his first major a month ago, was a huge shot in the arm. He wants to keep measuring his game up to these best players. So he looks pretty dialed in so far this week. And then also Troy Merritt, he's been trending as well. And Merritt had a top four and a top 12 also at Heritage, so back in the spring. So he's been playing recently pretty well in the last three or four starts, not necessarily getting the win or the second place, but he's somebody to look out for on a course like this.
No question. And it's a long course, right? It's set up by the PGA of America. It's really long, just a par 70, as we said. Heck, there's a 251-yard par 3, number 8, that they've got to deal with. safe to say the long hitters have, like Dustin Johnson, guys like that, Justin Thomas. This is going to test every phase of your game, but certainly the longer hitters would have some advantages.
Oh, big time. I think it's over 7,500 yards, and I think with the weather being a little more wind, a little cooler conditions on the weekends, that's going to also kind of make the cream rise to the top with the distance players as well. So, unless you're going crazy with the putter, it's going to really favor those longer hitters, like you said, Dustin Johnson. And I like John Rahm this week, too. I mean, his driving, I think he's fifth in driving on the PGA Tour with distance. That's going to be huge for him. He's been relishing another major, so this is a good time to get it.
Garrett Johnson. Hey, Garrett Johnston, how do people get to the Beyond the Clubhouse podcast? What's it all about? And follow your work.
Yeah, so anywhere you get your podcast, Beyond the Clubhouse is the name of it. Basically talking with players, caddies, coaches, just getting an insight on the game. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Johnston Garrett. And, yeah, it's just a blast. I mean, I love kind of, to me, Beyond the Clubhouse is the lasting relationships in golf and following all that. It's fun during weeks of majors to follow up on that as well.
All right, man. Appreciate you very much. Appreciate the scene setter at Southern Hills. Enjoy the tournament. Maybe we'll check in next weekend once we know who won the jug there.
Sounds good, Aaron. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Garrett Johnston, Beyond the Clubhouse is the podcast. Tiger Woods looking stronger, looking good, showing up in the basketball gym shorts this morning to get in a workout ahead of his tee time. He will tee off at 8:11, I believe is the time for those guys this morning in that range. 9:11 is the featured group with Rory, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods. But Garrett Johnston with the thoughts. Remember, Southern Hills, long course, par 70, as I said a couple times, and there's a creek. There are creeks that run all through the course, so almost every hole has some water hazard that you have to take care of because the creeks will run through there. Beautiful golf course. They played so many major championships here. But I think everybody in the golf world thinking Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth are two of the favorites in this event this weekend, which is a lot of fun with the success the Longhorn Golf Program has seen this year and over the last several. We'll come back when we do. Isaiah Collier will lead us through some topics we've missed halfway through a Thursday edition. We need some buck-ons and buck-offs from you. Also, Craig Flowers next hour and David Pierce, part of a busy Thursday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstead Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstead Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on this Buck Off Thursday, and a lot of hot stories for sure, including this Nick Saban development last night at an event ahead of the World Games in Birmingham. He pretty much stated that Texas A&M bought every player they signed in their number one recruiting class. It's got a lot of conversations being had. We'll reset that and let you hear Nick Saban coming up. Also, happy to hear this. Remember the story we told you last week in Hot and Not, Zay? The pilot who fell unconscious during a flight, and then the dude who didn't know how to land a plane landed the plane in Palm Beach. Remember this guy? He listened to the flight controller. Well, the guy that the pilot who actually suffered a heart attack is going home now. And according to his cardiothoracic surgeon at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, it's a miracle. So double miracle. The fact that he survived from the heart issue he was having, a miracle. And also that, obviously, if the guy that's flying panics and freaks out and crashes that plane, you could see this guy survived death twice.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. That guy's living good. That's living good. This guy, not living good in Hot or Not, Zay. A Wisconsin man named Don Gorski has eaten a Big Mac from McDonald's almost every single day for 50 years. He's now past the 50-year mark, and he says he's going to eat two Big Macs from McDonald's per day. Here he is talking about his big accomplishment, how he was able to prove a lot of people wrong. Let's hear from Don.
I've only missed 8 days in 50 years, which is phenomenal. I've counted every Big Mac I've eaten my whole life. All through life here, a lot of people said, well, aren't you going to, you'll be dead before you reach 50 years of eating Big Macs. I guess I proved them wrong.
You proved them? Now he's going for Tuesday. You're going to double down.
This dude's absolutely disgusting.
That is some diligence right there, my friend. Also, hot or not, you like the Hot Pockets, Zay?
Oh, yeah. Especially the breakfast ones. Those are underrated.
Underrated Hot Pockets. Well, the folks who make Hot Pockets are now selling Cold Pockets.
No.
They're called Delwiches. They're going to make sandwiches. So you can wrap them up, eat them. So, yeah, the Hot Pockets in a cold form.
Don't sleep on the Hot Pocket in the air fryer.
Ooh.
Don't sleep on that.
That is a masterful tip. That's what they call a life hack right there, Zay. That was pretty good on this National Hummus Day. You a fan of the hummus?
That's high.
I like some good hummus, like some whipped hummus, some real good whipped feta, and some hummus with, oh, man, I can go down with that for sure. No doubt. National Hummus Day. Also, the flavored hummuses are real good. Zay, what do you have for us? What have I missed halfway through this show on this Mullet Open Eve? Today is the actual mini Mullet Open. Tomorrow, the Mullet Open. What do you have for us?
All right, cornerback Marlon Humphrey is clearly trying to cut things off with his lady because he went to Twitter yesterday and asked, how do you politely tell your girlfriend she's gaining some weight?
Ooh. He did that?
Yeah.
And he has a girlfriend?
For now.
Yeah, because like if he's single, he's just dating some girls, and then he just wants some advice on that. But if he actually has a serious girlfriend or wife, that's probably not a good idea. Probably not, because here's the thing about social media. Everybody can see it.
Oh, yeah.
That's just, you know, these are kind of things you ask your buddies. No, you can get to the guy code and talk to your buddies and maybe ask some other, I mean, maybe like some, I don't know. If your girl is gaining weight and you want to let her know you're noticing without offending, I actually don't think there's a way to actually do that, Zay.
Yeah, it's a little oxymoron, but you know me, I like my women a little bit of meat on their bones, a la Lizzo. But there's, you know, you could say in polite ways to.
Well, we'll actually. This is the show of the people, after all. So if you have some advice, now I don't think it's very smart for Marlon to take to social media on that because obviously his girlfriend could see that. And then maybe that's the whole objective. Maybe he wants to deny it and say, oh, no, I was just kidding, babe. Well, at least she saw it. Maybe it rung a bell. I don't know. Or he's going to be broken up with here really shortly. But if you have any advice on how to do that for Marlon, is there a way you can go about kindly, nicely pointing out that, babe, hey now.
Now, you could always do the, hey, babe, maybe we should start eating a little cleaner for the both of us because I've been feeling down and I need your help.
Ooh, I like that, Zay. You know, make yourself vulnerable. Hey, look, I'm putting on some pounds here. Let's skip the Big Macs and let's start going down to the salad bar. Okay, I see that. But he's Marlon Humphrey. He's a cornerback in the NFL. He's this
pretty
guy.
Good shape.
He's in pretty good shape. I don't think he's had that issue. This says, why is this so hard? Just say, hey, you've gained weight. Okay. Right, good luck with that. Maybe. I don't know. Obviously, most females know when they're putting on some pounds themselves. They're paying attention to that kind of stuff. But at the same time, not really the best idea for you to point that out. We'll ask our man, Craig Flowers, the Colonel. Does he have some advice on that? He's an expert in a lot of things. We'll talk to Colonel coming up. Yesterday, we talked about Steve Sarkisian and a method he's used this offseason to try to empower the leaders on his team, how to bring culture into the clubhouse and the locker room. We'll ask Craig his thoughts on how that, the good and the bad of it, potentially, with Coach Sark. Also, David Pierce will be with us, as he is every Thursday at 8:30. We'll preview the Kansas series and beyond, the final Big 12 series and series of the regular season coming your way for Texas baseball. Coach Pierce coming up on a busy Thursday. Buck ons and buck offs, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And remember, streaming. Always can stream us on that smart speaker on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.